We are so glad she is here. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.
While you're standing, can we have a word of prayer? Father, for all things, we are thankful because we know that you're God. Above you, there is none other. And beside you, there is none other. We stand today because you have given us strength and the ability to speak your word with power and authority. Now look on this body of believers and allow your presence to overshadow them. Allow the power of the Holy Ghost to captivate their minds, their spirit, their heart, and soul. We thank you for what you shall do in this place. And we will not leave the same, but we will leave with more power and authority through your strength. And we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, why don't you put your hands together and let's give God some praise. Seated in the presence of the Lord, and I'm just glad to be with you on tonight. I certainly give honor and deference to your leader, Dr. Winston, and his lovely family, and to all of the protocol of this church, and to all of the ministers and elders. I thank God for being here tonight, and I want you all to get a real good look at me while I look nice. Because I have, when I come into the house of the Lord, I have to give God my all. I'm not a part-time lover. I have a full affair with him every time I come into his house. I lift up my hands, I open up my mouth, and I give him glory and praise. Because of the things that he has done for me, I never shall forget God. And so get a real good look at me, and I'm going to take my watch off and put it. I know they got clocks all around me, but I'm going to put it right there so I can see that clock, this clock, and all the other clocks. And so if I go over my time, y'all just pick up my watch and keep going. I am so grateful for this conference and for the opportunity to share with you my story. And before I briefly go into a word that will hopefully help you to understand that there is not a separation between the marketplace and the mission. That if you have a mission, then you automatically belong in the marketplace. I have two books, and I guess I have to do this commercial. They bring this stuff up for me to do. One book is Your Business is His Business. It's where destiny takes you. And I'm not an author, but the Lord impressed upon me. And it took me 3 years to write this book because I wrote it. I didn't have a ghostwriter write it for me. Everything in here is true. And it is graphic as it appears inside. And so His Business is Your Business talks about how I started in business, what it took for me in order to get in business and to become what the Lord has made me to this point. And this book, I've autographed a number of copies. They'll be available after service tonight. And also, I'm a musician. I'm a singer sometimes. But I am a directress. I don't believe anybody can conduct a choir better than me in the world. But there was, Dr. Winston, a gap between my generation and understanding what the spiritual sound of the church was and what we have conformed to today. And many young people would say to me, Sister Carter, why don't you sing the blues? Or why don't you sing this type of music or that type of music? And I would sit down and share with them the difference in the sound of the church. And that it emanates inside the spirit of the man. And that actually there is a megahertz in music, and when you raise certain megahertz of the tone, it does something to the emotion, and you need to understand what your ear is processing. So I don't tell people what to sing. I just say, read this book, Anointed Offering or Tainted Sacrifice. So those that are musicians and singers and worshipers and praisers and liturgical dancers, and those that want to understand how you can help your children to understand why I don't rap the way they rap. Now I have a rap. It's just not the same as theirs. So those two books are available, and they'll be available for you. But I've been invited to share with you my story. And I want to take a moment to thank you all for understanding and appreciating that just because you're in business does not mean you're disconnected from the power of God. Amen. That everybody in business is not trying to get ahead the wrong way. There are some of us that have committed ourselves to God, and we've made a vow to the Lord. Now, I'm old school, just so y'all know that. Because when I struck that note that said I made a vow to the Lord, something happened down in the epitome of my soul when I said I made the vow. Because we have to understand that in order to be successful in life, you've got to be successful in your walk with God. There's something called success. And then there's something called good success. And good success only comes when you have the total package. You can have a lot of money, but not have the total package. And what I came to talk to you all about today was the total package. Not just a letter, but a letter with the Spirit. Now look at me. I am the woman that they say owns the Burger Kings. I can make a Whopper. I am the woman that owns the Pizza Huts. I can flip the dough. I am the woman that owns the Haagen-Dazs ice cream. I can scoop you up a serving. I am the woman that owns the coffee beaneries. I can give you a mocha. But I also am a hand clapping, a foot stomping, a tongue talking, Pentecostal servant of the Lord. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that if God can do anything, that God can do everything, that there simply is nothing too hard. Nothing too hard for God. So in the midst of my storms, in the midst of my pressures, I do have 5,000 employees. But they all know it all starts on my knees. You know, I'm glad I can talk to this because this seemed like a good church. I just thought I'd pin something to help you understand the process of how to be what God wants you to be. And I decided to write a little thing that said, if God be for you, who really doesn't matter? much voice left because I've been speaking for 3 weeks, but the Lord told me to tell you last night, your who is not even important. Your who is insignificant if I'm for them. So if God be for me, who really doesn't matter? And I'm going to lift my text tonight out of the book of Haggai. And I'm going to read Haggai, the 2nd chapter, the 8th and the 9th verse. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Then he goes on in the 9th verse and he says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give you peace. In other words, I'm set up, but I ain't struggling because I'm set up. I got peace. And then in the 19th verse, he says, is the seed yet in the barn? As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth from this day. Somebody say, from this day.
From this day.
Ooh, y'all sound good. He says, from this day, I will bless you. And I just came to deliver the blessings tonight and to let you know, from this day, the Lord said, the Lord said, he's gonna bless you. Now, somebody should have hollered right there when I... I know what the problem is. The problem is that some of us are like the people that live during this time. We say, what are you talking about, Val? What are you talking about? Let me just tell you a little bit about it. Hold on 1 second. See, Haggai breaks this 2-chapter book down into 3 real simple messages. His first message is to the people. He says, you need to be recommitted. It had been about 70 years since the temple of God had been destroyed. And initially, the people had got excited when they were going back to rebuild the temple. But what happened was their achievements in life and their notoriety and all of their importanality started to take precedence over the mission. So sometimes the Lord blesses us and we get comfortable in our place of blessing, not understanding that this is just a pause moment, that there's so much more God has in store for us. So don't get stuck on pause when God wants to release fast forward. So, y'all not gonna like me tonight, but it don't matter, I like me. Their accomplishments and their achievements took precedent over their walk and their accountability of their spiritual mandate that God had given them. So Haggai said, the message is very clear. He says, God told me to tell you, give careful thought to your ways. Said, and let me give you some examples. He says, I brought you over here. You're excited, ready to go. He said, you bought some businesses. You started out good, but you ran out of money. I ain't talking to nobody out there. Let me talk to myself. Says, you planted much. I'm gonna bring it to the marketplace. Oh yeah, it's coming to the marketplace. Said, but you've had little harvest. He said, you eat, but you never get enough. He said, you drink, but you're never filled. He said, you put on clothes, but you can't get warm. He said, you earn wages, but you put them in a purse that has holes in them. That's because there are certain foundational principles of being blessed. When you pray, when you give, and when you fast. Those are the three foundational principles of success. I don't care how much they teach you about the balance sheet. You got to pray, you got to give, and you got to fast. Okay? They can give you all the practical principles and learnings of success, and you need them. Don't fool yourself. But until you take those practical principles, hey, and shift them over into a spiritual realm, you will never receive the fullness of the greatness of what God has for you. You got to be a woman of faith, a man of faith, in order to walk what I'm getting ready to teach y'all tonight. I don't know what Jake's is teaching behind me, but I got something for you right now. Donald, he said the reason you can't be blessed is because my house is in ruins. If you take care of God's business, God's gonna take care of your business. Let me talk to y'all over here, because maybe they... There are certain things that you have to put in order in order for other things to work. So, he says, fix my house up. The people looked at Haggai and they said, we're ill-equipped. We don't have everything that we need. We know we've misprioritized our agenda. I'm not talking to none of y'all. I know I've misprioritized what I should have been doing. When I should have been in church on Wednesday night, I was out trying to hustle to get a deal. I know I'm a woman of standard, but brother man told me if I would just slide. that he can make something happen for me. Don't ever compromise your integrity. Don't ever compromise your stand. This book right here talks about the fact that I was a young black girl. I still am pretty young. And I decided I wanted a Burger King restaurant. I made an application to Burger King. Nobody responded. I said, okay. Made another application, Dr. Winston. Nobody responded. I said, okay. Picked up the phone and called. Said, you know, I sent in two applications, but no one has responded to me yet. Well, hold on, we don't have it. I said, well, what's your name? And they gave me their name. I said, can you send me an application? They said, yes. I said, because I'm going to send it directly back to you because I'm going to call you. So I filled out my application and I sent it back in. For 2 years, we played the we don't have it, we don't know where it is game. So eventually, they had to admit that they had it. And so they called me and they said, we're going to set up an interview. I said, great, look at God. I was just like the children, all excited. Huh? Thank you. And they sent me to a place called Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I don't call the man's name out in the book. I just call his name, can I ride with you now? I went in for my interview. It's supposed to be there at 8 o'clock. The book tells us to get there early, right? I got there early. I sat before they got there. I was there. Finally, his secretary came in. She opened the door. I said, hi, my name is Valerie Daniels, and I'm here for my interview. Valerie Daniels Carter here for my interview. And she said, oh, yeah, we're expecting you. Come on in. She started going through some papers. She said, have a seat. I had a seat. Sat there. Finally, the gentleman came in. Walked right past me, just like I wasn't sitting there. I didn't say nothing. I started praying. Lunchtime came. No interview. He walked back by me for lunch. Went to lunch. Came right back by me. And went back in his office. No interview. Then, about 5 o'clock, and I'm paraphrasing, he walks in and says, oh, you're the young lady I'm supposed to interview, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He says, well, let me tell you, you're going to have to come back. He says, because we're getting ready to go hunting. It's a Friday night. He says, a couple of buddies of mine are getting ready to go hunting. I looked him in the face. I said, do you mind if I ride with you? I think he was so shocked till he said yes before he knew what he really meant. So, I'm a woman of faith and power. I get up, we're walking to his truck. Another guy gets with him. They get in the front seat, I sit in the back seat. Now they don't understand why they in the front seat. I'm sending out messages of power, strength. Y'all don't understand what I'm riding low, but I'm riding high. You know? So, we get up to a place called Minnetonka, Minnesota, to a cabin. They get out of the cabin. I get out of the cabin. A lot of them start, you know, gathering. I walk into the cabin. I sit down. You talking about perseverance. I'm trying to tell y'all how to get About 9, 10 o'clock came, they still talking and playing cards. Now, you know, I can't play some cards, you know. What you playing, Chief? No, okay. So, about 11 o'clock came, and they still were just ignoring the fact that I was there. So one of the guys said to me, he says, well, you know, it's late, and we're getting ready to go to bed, and what you gonna do? I says, well, you know what? I'm gonna go back to my hotel, and I'm gonna come back in the morning, because I was not gonna spend the night in the cabin. That's a message right there for some of y'all. Don't spend the night in the cabin. Give me a little something right there, something. Don't spend the night in the cabin. So just in case they didn't warn y'all, I sing, I preach, and I shout. So I'm looking at the clock and it's late, and the guy tells me, he says, no cab is coming out here, you're way out in the boonies. I said, I can get a cab out here. I pick up the phone and I said, there's an emergency. And so they sent a cab to get me. And when I get in the cab, I tell the cab driver, I say to that cab driver, every turn you make to take me back to that hotel, tell me where I am. See, sometimes you just need to know where you are in order for God to move for you. You need to know where you're positioned. So you got to know how to reposition in order for God to cast out opposition. So y'all missed that. So he told me where I was. So I went back to my hotel and I began to pray. I told the Lord, I said, I know what you told me, but what you told me is not the reality of what I'm living through right now. How many of you know the Bible says, don't be weary in well doing, for you shall reap if you faint. So I got on my face to God. And I cried out to God for direction. See, I didn't tell God what I wanted. I asked God for direction as to what he wanted for me. And about 4 o'clock that morning, I got up, got my clothes on, got me a cab. I know God is not proper English, but it sounds good right now. And I told the cab where I was going. He says, I don't know how to get there. I said, don't worry. I got every turn you need to make. I got back to that cabin. I knocked on the door. When they opened the door, they were shocked. I walked in the cab. They were drinking coffee. I said, I like mine black. A few minutes later, they start putting on their orange jackets. I looked over in the corner, saw an orange jacket. I put on my orange jacket. They picked up their guns. I looked over there, I saw a gun. Down. I pull my weapon down. I'm trying to teach y'all something. I'm trying to teach. They started walking. I started walking. We were walking step in step. Then the Holy Ghost said, Ashabakosha. The Holy Ghost said to me, let him go ahead. So I slowed down. They kept walking. They got about 100 yards in front of me. I hollered out, hey! They turned around. I lifted that rifle. I said, I don't know how to shoot this thing, but I came for an interview. The weapons of our warfare. I said, I came for an interview. The man looked back at me and said, you approve, you approve. Went back in the cabin, took off that jacket, put down that gun, got back to my hotel, and when I got back in that hotel, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I sing, I preach, I shout. I sing, I preach, I shout. So, my time is almost up. I got the clock is running, but I just stopped here tonight to tell you it's not over. Hashaboshe nabakosha nabaho. Until God says it's over. It's not done until God says it's done. It's not finished until God says it's finished. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, not some of your ways, not the ways you feel like, but all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. Do I got any believers in here that know that he will? See, y'all messing with me now. Because when I talk about he will, I gotta say he can. Then I have to say he does. Rebukes the devourer. He casts out sickness. He pulls down strongholds. He binds the enemy that comes to hinder and destroy. So I have to go back to being Mrs. Carter now. There is a Mrs. Carter, and then there's a Sister Carter. Mrs. Carter shows up at the corporate meetings. Sister Carter sits at the table. I ain't got time to fool with y'all. I got to get out of here, but so why does Mrs. Carter show up and Sister Carter sit down? Say, because Mrs. Carter shows up in her corporate business suit, and you got to look the part. Y'all going into places looking like y'all ain't got nothing. don't care if you broke as Job's turkey. Don't look broke. Walk in kingdom authority. Hold your head up and say, though they slay me, I'm gonna trust you. Though they take this away, the cattle on a thousand hill belong to you. And God, they may have taken this so you can bless me with all of this. See, some of us look at our downfalls as I'm embarrassed. I can't go on. Honey, some of my greatest downfalls have been my greatest opportunities for God to open up other doors. I'm not even gonna tell y'all that I'm a Green Bay Packer board member and that I got a Super Bowl ring. I'm not even gonna. Take off diamonds, put on Super Bowl rings, take off Super Bowl ring. Say, why does Mrs. Carter show up, but Sister Carter sit up? 'Cause Mrs. Carter can't sit up like Sister Carter sits up. I got to let y'all go. But you need to understand the power and authority in a believer. I know y'all saying she's not supposed to be acting like that. If I don't act like this, if I don't let you know that he's real and that you don't have to compromise in order to be blessed, and yes, sometimes you may have some failures, but a failed opportunity is God's opportunity to move on your behalf. A failed opportunity is God's opportunity to let you know you weren't in control, but he's in control of. Bishop, I told these kids, I don't know what you're gonna preach about. My time is up, but I do want to share with you this one thing before I take my seat. In all sincerity, God has purpose for everybody. And we're all fitly joined together. Everyone won't be Dr. Winston. But it is your responsibility to hold him up. And there are seasons that God has in your life. But this season right now is the season ordained for believers. It's not the season ordained for those that are half making it. But it's ordained for the ones that will say, if God is for me, who really doesn't matter? Because I have enough confidence and faith in God to know that whatever he has ordained for my life, it won't fail. And that the only reason it fails is because my faith is not where it's supposed to be. I had written something in my dialogue tonight that talked about the difference of wisdom and faith. You can ask for wisdom, and the Bible says he will give it to you. But faith is gained through experience, encounters, and deep emotional, mind transitional position. Because faith is really a mind game. Y'all gonna get that on the way home, y'all. Y'all gonna get that on the way home. The brain is not your mind.
That's right.
The brain is the hardware.
That's right.
Your mind is what resonates, or the software of your brain.
Doctors will tell you that after 7 to 9 years, what has been processed in your brain will be lost. But what's processed in your mind is everlasting. So I'm sitting down on this, and I hope y'all get this. So when you have experiences and encounters with God, your mind processes what God has done. And even though you go through the storms of life, your mind never forgets what God has done for you. Even though your brain has forgotten, your mind has not forgotten. So as you go through the storms of life, and you're trusting God for this, and trusting God for that, and trusting God for this, and you hit a bump. When you hit that bump, your mind says you can make it. Your mind says keep going. Your mind says move on. Because of the encounters and experiences we've had. Now, Father, for this time of sharing, I pray that you will allow the believer to know that you're in control of all. And every last one that believes you, in spite of doubters and haters, I pray tonight that you will open the window from heaven and pour them out blessings wherewith they won't even have room enough to receive it. Enlarge their territory, enlarge their scope, allow the spirit and the mind to trust you. And we thank you and praise you for all things in Jesus' name. Come on and put your hands together and give God. Things I teach people, they say, Val, they say, you're so blessed. I said, but I'm not afraid to seed into where my blessings come from. I'm a 100-fold woman. He said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In other words, he gave you the ability to choose which fold you wanted. What you seed into is what comes back to you. I've been paying tithe since the age of 6. True statement. My mother taught her children how to tithe. Even when I wasn't saved, I had to tithe. Now, I didn't quite get it at that time, but I get it today. But there are 3 levels of giving that God challenges us with. The tithe, that belongs to him. The offering, that's what we give to him. And then the seed, that's what we plant. And some mother is wondering why her child is always in trouble. That's because every time they go to jail, you seed into Cook County Jail. Say, she don't know nothing about teenage boys. Yes, I do. Jeffrey Allen Carter II. No, okay. But every time my son is challenged, my seed comes to the church. And then I'll let the Spirit arrest him. See, y'all can't arrest these children. Y'all been trying it the wrong way. So I teach people, and I got 40 seconds to receive this offering. But I'm blessed because God knows that I'm faithful and he can trust me. He can trust me to sell $100,000 worth of Whoppers and pizzas and know I'm going to pay my tithe. And I'm not going to hold back because it belongs to him. And every time y'all buy a Whopper, I'll be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, dun-dun. Every time y'all buy a pizza, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every time a scoop ice cream goes out of Häagen-Dazs, I'll be saying, oh. But it's because I'm a giver. And I don't know your method of giving, but I'm going to ask if you would seed into what you want God to do for you. And I don't know if it's proper for you all to walk, or you have ushers, but Dr. Winston, come help me. I'm not an ignorant woman either. Amen. I know when I have the chief in the house, he knows how to walk.
Amen. Take your seats, please. They have envelopes. The ushers are coming by with envelopes. And please give Dr. Carter a hand clap that will resonate.